birthday, we asked you who love him to share with us why you love the various Tony ships or even just Tony himself. We had such an amazing response, and my dear friend Ashes0909 agreed to read each lovely message for you folks today. Take it away, Ashes.
Robin Toxter says, I like Frost Iron because they are, or can, turn completely unhinged because of each other, and one always more than the other, and it's never the same one. I like seeing how they both flirt with danger, seeking the thrill together and finding common ground, be it their daddy issues or the want to be seen and acknowledged without the shadow they often walk in. Also, the entire concept of forbidden love. The issue of a mortal loving an immortal, it just promises so much angst and feels, which is something I can't ever get enough of. Tiny Frost Dragon says, I love seeing Tony with Loki because, for some wild reason, they just seem to fit. Their personalities are strikingly similar, ranging from bad dad's trademark to using humor's tricks to cover up their insecurities. So I feel that they have a lot of common ground to grow from. There's also something I appreciate in Frost Iron content, that many fics make the two of them grow together as people, not just a couple. Being that Loki earns his redemption with Tony's help, or Loki and Tony both overcome the awful shit they've been through throughout their lives, they play and build off one another. And I love how soft they can be. I'm an avid Frost Iron fluff writer. When their harsh edges are chipped away and they can finally see how they're healing through being with each other. It's just so sweet. I also adore the people in the fandom. We aren't as popular a ship as Stony or Thorky, but I must say that we have some amazing people in our little group. Artists, writers, and just general fans alike. We push each other towards our goals and wholeheartedly support our creators. I have even made some good friends along the way.
That's really, really interesting. Ferret, what do you think of those comments?
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I've never really spent a whole lot of time in the fandom itself, but I definitely read a fair amount of Frost Iron, especially early on when I was still taste testing and buffeting. I remember one particularly really struck with me. I haven't read it again in a long time, but it's called Off the Record, and it was actually orphaned, so I can't remember who the writer was, and probably they don't want to be connected with it anymore anyway. But I will link that in the show notes as well. And I remember that being kind of a great Frost Iron example. But yeah, I love that both people mentioned their daddy issues as being something they can connect on. And I mean, my favorite part of Tony as a person is the snark and the banter and the softness that hides. And Loki can be the same way. So having the two of them be snarky and bantery together and then also having those feelings, I'm super into that. I love Loki as a character. So this is just, you know, two characters I adore. Sure, put them together. I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm less into Loki as a villain in fandom fics because I think I see so much of the whole arc of Loki's story.
Yeah.
Now, like, I can't separate Ragnarok from Avengers. Like, I just can't. So, I also love Frost Iron. I think it's one of my, like, I don't have any confidence that I would write Loki particularly well. So I haven't played in it. I don't know why I have that perception, but I don't feel very confident in it. But I definitely read it. Like I said in the last episode, one of my very favorite fairy tale fics is a Frost Iron. We'll link it again. It's a Beauty and the Beast retelling. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really stuck out to me was the last bit of Tiny Frost Dragon's comment where they talked about the people in the fandom.
Yeah.
That they're not as popular as Stony or Thorky, which are huge ships. But that they have amazing people and all this kind of stuff. I will say, we've said it a number of times, but I was actually having a conversation with Mr. Flame in the last couple of days about why fandom has become so emotionally resonant to me. And a lot of it was because I came into fandom at a time where everybody was kind of looking to make new friends on a certain level. And I came in at a very specific time where a lot of people were grieving Endgame. And a lot of folks were super warm though, and they were really ready to tell me everything they loved about their ship. And I would hop around to all these other Discord servers and be like, so tell me why I should love whatever. And I remember doing that for Frost Iron and people saying the snarky thing, and they sent me a whole bunch of links and they were super warm. And then I just happened to fall face first into Stony and Stony and Winter Iron, and I have not emerged. But when I started talking to the people on the server for this project and said, like, hey, could somebody, like, just tell me what you love about Tony and Loki, the incredible warmth of the particular server that I was on reminded me how lovely this little fandom ship is. And so as an outsider and somebody who has only kind of flirted with this ship in terms of fandom, I can affirm what Tiny Frost Dragon has said for them, but I can also say the lovely, like, that is why we keep coming back.
Yeah.
To create. I don't create these works. If I was just creating these works for me, like, none of you would ever read them. I do write for you all, for your enjoyment and for your love and for your joy. I write to help you in some way. And I love that that's baked into this world we all create with each other all the time.
I think that, and yeah, I've said before that, like, the reason I'm still in Stony after this long is because of the people. And I've had other ships in the past. I usually would fall in and out, and I'd go through periods of not reading or really engaging with anything at all, and then I'd come back to it. But this is the first time I've been, like, a part of a fandom, and it makes a huge difference. I think about this stuff every day. You and I are recording a couple times a week, and I write every day, and I'm, you know, running events and doing that kind of thing. And it's just become a part of my life in a way that previous fandoms haven't. And the reason for that is that this time I met people, I engaged with people, I made friends, I connected to it. So it has a humanness to it instead of just a consumption of media. So
yeah,
it's really valuable to have a fandom that you love, regardless of how big or small it is or how much is produced. If you have friends there and you feel happy there, that's ultimately what fandom is about.
Absolutely. I, just a little fun thing too, I was working on the latest chapter of one of my long fics, and one of the people that I, like, that I know is really engaged in the fics really, really loves it when I drop Hamilton references. Uh-huh. And I found myself with an opportunity to either drop a reference or not. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it because they're reading this and I know it'll bring them joy. Like,
yeah, I love that.
Like, that's, and my beta, Marie, of our events forecast and everything else, is one of my primary betas. And like, I know what's going to make her, like, laugh out loud at this point now, because I've been writing we've been working together for so long. And so there's a couple times I have to warn her and be like, you are going to lose it at this paragraph. Please make sure you're not in public.
Yeah, I like that. I like writing things that I know Ashley will like.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll write things about, as I'm writing the sentence, I'm like, she's gonna have something to say about this. She's not going to like this construction or whatever. And I just leave it anyway, just to be contrary. And then she'll comment on it. I'll be like, yeah, I should change it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
No, there are definitely times where, I mean, even we haven't been working together that long, and I think that about you, I'll be like, oh, that'll be, if I make that point fair, it'll really, really dig it. So,
So it's the people.
It's the people. Fandom, just like Asgard.
The people, not a
place. It's the people.
So thank you to Robin Tochter and Tiny Frost Dragon for your comments on Tony and Loki. And we'll move on to our next little piece.
May says, I think a lot of my favoritism also just translates from Tony and Bucky being two of my favorite MCU characters. My love for my favorite characters makes me want to read content with them and focus around either or both of them. I think a simple way to put it is, my mindset is two characters / people I admire and adore finding happiness through romantic attraction with each other. With that said, I do feel like there's always been that possibility of a bond of understanding between Tony and Bucky through similar shared life experiences of being tortured and being thrown into coming to terms with horrors of their lives. Also, unhealthy coping mechanisms, such as continuing to shove it down into a little box and moving forwards. I think it does a lot for a relationship to have someone that chooses not to judge based off of secondhand sources and treat you like a person. It's refreshing and relaxing. Tony would know too, growing up in the limelight as he did, how important and precious creating your own judgment is to someone else. It's something regular folk might take for granted.
And Bucky in general is very interesting because in the MCU, there's only bits and pieces we get to see. So in fandom, he's fair game for anything. People can make him cocky and sassy and ready to murder, and they get a sort of pass to do anything with him in a way more fleshed out characters usually aren't played with as much. I do note that Fanon can do anything with any character that they choose because fic and other creations are up to the author to play with as they wish. It's just interesting to see what people do with a character that has less canon to play with. One of my favorite things about Tony and Bucky is the softness and the love they tend to find for themselves through each other in fic. They tend to be shown to have very similar characteristics and coping mechanisms in the majority of fandom that sort of fits into it easier. Or maybe it's just simpler to love somebody else than yourself. I think with these similarities, it allows them to change their self-hatred to more self-neutrality, if not self-love. Sort of the, I love the person I am when I have you beside me vibes. Also, having someone else love the parts of you you hide or hate, heck, loving you despite those parts even, helps you heal yourself. There's a lot of different details I could jump into there because self-love is its whole monster in itself and is an individual and personal journey. Which brings me to one of my favorite tropes of canon divergent that I desperately wanted in the MCU. Tony and Bucky finding closure with the whole Winter Soldier killed Howard and Maria. Overall, there's just something about these two specifically tough, hard, angry, fierce, and lovable characters learning to be soft and take pride in being soft with each other that really does it for me.
So right off the bat, I really like that this sort of approaches things from a different perspective because I think that there's a lot of different ways that you can come into a ship. And one of them is to fall in love with the relationship and the other is to have your favorite characters and just smoosh them together because they're your favorite characters.
Yes.
So acknowledging that from the beginning of this piece to say that, you know, Tony and Bucky, they love them both. So, you know, por qué no los dos, put them together.
Yeah. And I love the point that that Bucky in fandom is in a way the ultimate enigmatic cipher of the MCU. Because, like, I mean, God loves Sebastian Stan. He did a lot with a little, but we have, like, he speaks what, like, somebody counted it once, like 16 lines or something.
Insane. Yeah, it's like 300 words, I think he gets total.
So, I mean, what we're working with is looks and facial expressions and a lot of the stuff he gave us, and he did a great job, but we just kind of create everything else. And you have so many Bucky options. And
it's also interesting to have, like, with Tony Bucky, we're getting arguably the character that has the most attention on them. And, like, of the 11 movies, I would be stunned if Tony didn't have the most words.
Yeah, no,
there's three entire movies that are entirely dedicated to him. So,
yeah.
Tony has the most screen time versus Bucky, who has, you know, of the mainish characters, he's one of the least.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting contrast to work with.
Yeah. And I love to, like, we talk about, I mean, so as she, May ends the thing with talking about the closure, finding the closure from the Winter Soldier, which is, if we're playing in canon Winter Iron, that is one of the things I want you to handle for sure.
Yeah.
But what I love too is this idea that they both don't own their bodies fully.
Yeah.
In different ways than Steve doesn't. So yeah. Like, and Steve's body modification is a thing and I love when we play with it. But Tony's and Bucky's is just more visceral in a certain way to me. But also the idea that, like, Tony never fully owned his life because he's been public forever.
Yeah.
And Bucky didn't own his life because of Hydra. And so they understand each other on a different level than any other character will ever be able to let them understand. And yeah. So she kind of brings that up, this, like, I love the person I am with you because you see me on a different level and I can be this kind of softer, I can be a snarky asshat because you are too. And we both know that we're just hiding on a certain level. And like, that is really, the more I read them, the more they're becoming my OTP. And I really just love playing around with them.
Yeah, as I said with Tony and Loki, I love when two characters can sort of hold their own against each other in the witty banter arena. So I think Bucky can be there too. And you know, part of that again is that we have so little Bucky to work with that from a fan and perspective, we can kind of do whatever we want. And we get these little, you know, bits and pieces that, you know, Bucky has that in him, that little bit of snark. He likes to joke around with Steve. And so, yeah, put him up against Tony is a...
Yeah, they're both fundamentally loyal. They're both, you know, and I, like, this is a Stuckoni thing, but like, I love that they both fundamentally love Steve too.
Yeah, me too.
And so, and that they understand him in a different way than other people do. And so they understand each other in a different way. And like, I know that sounds really trite because like all humans understand each other, but like.
It's just different levels to approach them from a characterization perspective.
Yeah. And I this is a really, when May sent me this, I was like, oh, you just articulated everything I really like about Winter Iron. Thanks for doing my work for me. So
wonderful. So we're done. Thanks yes. Agreed.
Yes. Cosign.
Marie says about Iron Strange, they are the ship I first thought of out of Infinity War, which was an Iron Strange movie, and you cannot change my mind. And I've never been able to let go of them since. There's a lot to be said about opposites attracting each other, but what about characters that are so similar it could be uncanny when you put the major events of their lives next to each other? Not that Tony and Steven live the same life, but that their character arcs should match up so well and let us creators prolong it and see beyond to what it could mean in the context of the relationship. It means magic to me. It means these two men would understand each other even when they're being the worst assholes to each other and feelings are hurt, or fatigue and PTSD are blinding. It means they would probably have memorable fights. They're both drama queens, aren't they? But that they would also find solace in each other because they are both so strong and resilient and caring and funny and ready to give so much for so little in return. They both suffer so much, been hurt so hard and so often, and yet they're both saving Earth while injured beyond repair, both physically and mentally. They both keep seeing the beauty in the world, no matter how cynical their sarcasm may appear. Tony the futurist and Steven the man who made butterflies out of a spell to try and defeat the deadliest enemies Earth had ever faced. Just imagine, and I know that I have X many a time, how perfect they would be for each other once the dust settles and the noise quiets. How perfectly soothing it would be if only they were given a minute to rest together. No matter the amount of ships I managed to fall into, there's not a lot of them that makes me think anything is possible, one way or the other, forward and backward and fucking top and bottom. I've written a 300 versions of them, and I'll keep doing so because they bring me so much. And the friends I've made connecting over this pair made of an asshole and a douchebag, well, they bring me even more every day.
I have to admit, I haven't really spent much time in Iron Strange, so it was really nice to hear from someone who loved them so much why they do.
This is a great example of what I love about fandom, because I dabble in Iron Strange for sure. I've written a couple fics, and one of them in particular that I wrote, I'm still very fond of, and I had a ton of fun writing. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel passionate about them this way. And I can see that, like, them being total dicks to each other is so much fun, and I get all of that. But, like, I like playing with Tony's PTSD better with other characters. But that doesn't make mine more valid than Marie's. And like, I love how much she loves them. Like, I love it. I didn't come out of Infinity War thinking that it was an Iron Strange movie, but go with God. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. I love it. And I certainly love this idea of them both seeing the beauty in the world, no matter how cynical they may appear. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's a really... I'm certainly going to be looking at Iron Strange works a little bit differently in the future. I really like that point.
I think that there are characters that, you know, some people prefer characters who are more similar to each other, and some people prefer characters who are very different and you know, play off each other in a different way. So I would say that Tony and Strange are quite similar to each other, and that for some people that's the big draw. And it was interesting to see Marie talk about how, you know, some people say opposites attract and some people like uncanny similarities. So sort of breaking down what's similar and different about, you know, each of these sort of, each of these pieces, people have kind of dived into that. What's the same about them and what's different?
Again, it's just fascinating at how much we love and play off different. It's like everybody's magnets or taffy in some way.
Yeah.
Kind of manipulating the different pieces of it. This is one of the things I'm so I hope that as if you're listening to this, by the way, and you're like, oh, I would really love to make a case, please send it in. Like, these were amazing and we will keep interacting with these.
Yeah, yeah. This is not just for Tony's birthday. We're also going to celebrate Steve's birthday. So if you've listened to these and you love them and you have a Steve ship you want to do, feel free to write that at any point. But yeah, thanks, Marie, because I like hearing about the ships that I haven't really interacted with, because it's a whole different world. And it also just shows you how vast fandom is. Like, I think I'm aware of most of the ships, except for some of the really, really, really rare pairs. But it's always nice to sort of see people. I mean, we did this because we wanted to showcase people's love. And so this was great love. Thank you.
And speaking of how vast fandom is, next up is a letter about a pairing from 616.
B2 says, okay, so I want to gush about 616 Hank Pym Tony a little, because they keep interacting in old comics I'm reading and form a mutual appreciation society. 616 Hank is a lot different from MCU Hank, who, even though I love him, seems to be based almost entirely on the issue where Hank called Reed Richards a bitch and broke into his house. My favorite part of the ship is the amount of times that Tony, and also Steve, would end up hurting themselves during the line of duty. And Hank would be the one who had to patch them up. And he'd stay up the entire night worrying and would grumpily be like, you have a heart condition. Stop scaring me so much, when Tony woke up. He'd also try and hide his own injuries a lot, but Tony would notice anyway. There's a 1985 West Coast Avengers where Hank is trying to avoid being on the team again and just wants to be the team's butler. But Tony is not having it and just keeps calling him an Avenger. It has a really cute scene where, after a version of Ultron advances himself so far that he starts feeling love for his father and sacrifices himself to save Hank from an older model, and Hank takes it really hard and Tony comforts him. I just love the butler era, to be honest. It leads to good secret relationship. I wish it was more fic, but clench his fists. There's not enough 616 fic. There isn't really any canon evidence, but I like to imagine them having met as kids because both of them were really scarily smart and also childhood friendship. But basically, it's a sort of opposites attract ship because Hank is a shy guy who loves ants and mad science, while Tony is an extrovert who also loves mad science. They bond over science and also mutually being annoyed by Reed.
And here we have back to another one where it was opposites attract, but then they have similarities that they can relate to. I find this one really interesting because I know next to nothing about 616 Hank Pym, and my Hank Pym is Alts Hank, which he's a fairly prevalent character, but he's not one you really want to ship with anyone. He's married to Jan at the beginning and it's not very nice. Like a lot of Alts, people are not very nice. So yeah, I mean, this little letter made me want to read some of those issues so I could see that relationship, because it's one that I haven't seen touched on anywhere.
Yeah, and here's where I confess that I haven't seen either of the Ant-Man movies, so I don't know MCU Hank Pym at all, and I don't read 616, so this was just fascinating to me to read when Beto sent this in, because I was like, oh, tell me more. Yeah. What is this person about ants and science? And I'm always fascinated by mentions of Reed Richards because I just see Ian Gruffalo in my head. and he was such a poor, I know, casting decision according to fans for that particular movie. So I like this idea of Tony loving softer, shy people. And I'd be interested if the stuff that Beto says in that clip about Hank, if people who ship Tony and Bruce in the MCU kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, I felt a bit of an echo there. I'd be interested to hear if Beto and if other people who ship Hank Tony see an echo there. I love the idea of Tony calling him an Avenger and, you know, drawing him out onto the team even though he's reluctant to do so. That feels very Tony. And yeah, you're right, very like his relationship with Bruce.
Yeah, it's just a lovely kind of dichotomy with the more bombastic relationships that Tony has that seem very loud and take up a lot of space. One of the other things we all love about Tony is his quieter relationships.
And when we see him alone, we see a lot of that quiet side. And Pepper brings out some of that quiet side in canon, so.
Yes, and the moments, I think some of the sweetest moments, I mean, even I loved all the cabin scenes in Endgame where they were talking about alpacas and
yeah.
Like all of that. That's the Tony I love the most. Not the one who is building Ultron because of a panic attack, but
yeah.
I love the one who, you know, builds Pepper Rescue because he wants to protect her. Like, that's kind of who I resonate with. So I love that it exists in all these other ships as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Beto.
And you've heard from us a lot, obviously, because sorry, it's our podcast, but
you're welcome, universe.
You're welcome. But we got this really great letter from M. Sam Rowe that was essentially just titled Why I Love Tony. We wanted to give them the last word in this particular section. We're going to let M. Sam Rowe take it away. Thanks again to Ashes0909 for reading all of these for us and being another voice. And we will see you guys in Creator Corner.
Why I Love Tony from M. Sam Rowe. What I personally love about MCU Tony is that he does have incredibly glaring flaws on a personality and character level. He is a self-absorbed narcissist. He has a pathological need for constant attention, whether positive or negative. He's thoughtless, even on his best behavior. And on his not best behavior, he gets a kick out of being casually cruel to people who have less power than he does. And it's not like his flaws inform his heroism. He's not a hero because of them, or a hero despite them. He doesn't overcome them. He's just a hero also. These extreme positives and extreme negatives coexisting together, which I find fascinating. Whereas MCU Steve, in my headcanon conception of him, is far more integrated in that every aspect of his personality informs his heroism. His stubbornness, his stoicism, his occasional rage, these can be slash are flaws and stumbling blocks in his personal life, but he channels them into the mission, and he wouldn't be the hero he is without them. Whereas Tony could still be a hero if he wasn't also a narcissist, attention-seeking bully. But as I see it, he's just still too insecure to let go of that part of himself. He needs to occasionally keep pushing others down to keep himself up. And people do a great job exploring the daddy issues and other reasons behind that. But that's why I think it's so hard to write a really accurate but still likable MCU Tony. It's a real balancing act of being true to his very toxic flaws while doing the other good parts justice as well. And on the page, you don't have Robert Downey Jr. there to soften things up with his charm and his puppy eyes. I think in fandom, we tend to magnify the sweet parts and downplay the toxicity, getting rid of the cruelty and sticking with the softer flaws of immaturity and arrogance, which is definitely nice and makes him more palatable and a lovely romantic hero, and I eat that shit up. But I really admire when writers can keep even the worst traits intact and in balance. So that's my take. Happy birthday, Tony.